Okay, Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, so tonight's Shalos and Kugel is dedicated by Reb Simcha Friedman, Gluy Nishmas Hashver, Doiv Ben Meir, Nisham Zalben Aliyah. The art site is oh, Purim Kotten. Purim Kotten. Nisham Zalben Aliyah. And a shkeich to Hashi Kalas for bringing the
labor,
bringing a Shalos and a Kugel. Okay. Chazal tell us, main kemach ain't tyra. If there's no food, there's no tyra. So kavachaim, if there is food, then we have to have the tyra. Okay. So pashas tzavim, peri koftes. The pasuk tells us, v'shachanti, Pesach b'nei Yisrael, v'yisi lahem v'elokim. Hashem says that I'll rest among b'nei Yisrael, and I'll be for you, I'll be for you, Hashem. The Pnei Menachem says over a beautiful, beautiful insight. We say in davening every day, we say three times a day, Ashrei Yoshvei Be'Secho, Oid Yehalu Chaselo. What's the Oid? Oid. Oid means more, also. Both. So those that sit in your house are praised. Oid Yahalucha Sala. More, they praise you. What's the Oid Yahalucha Sala? Yahalucha, they praise you. What's Oid? Oid Yahalucha. And the Pnei Menachem explains that the way of the world is that, for example, a king, an important person, the people that are farther away from the king, farther away, they admire him the most because they see him from far. They see him from far, so they ooh, and they ah, and they're excited, and they admire him the most. Those that are a little bit closer to the king, a little bit closer to the governor, to the officer, they already see that he's not so ayayay like he makes himself out to be. And they see his bad habits, they see his bad characteristics, so they admire him, but not as much. And those people that are awfully, awfully close to him, and they know the truth, they don't admire him at all. The closer one comes to a boss of Adam, the less one admires him. But says the Pnei Menachem, that's by the Goyim. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, just the opposite is true. Those that are far away from a Gadol, from a Rebbe, they admire him. But the closer they become, they see the Midas Tayyos, they see the Tzidkis, they see here is Torah, they admire him even more. So Kal Vachomer, when somebody comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they admire him even more. Somebody is standing away and tries to understand Hashem, admires but Hashem. But the closer one becomes, the more one admires and praises Hashem. He says, that's the Peshat in the Pasuk. Ashrei Yoshvei Be'Secho, Oid Yehalucha. Those that are Yoshvei Be'Secho, those that sit in your house, those that sit in the Beis HaKnesses, those that sit in Yeshiva, in the Beis HaMedrash, Oid Yehalucha, they praise you even more. Because they're closer to Hashem. And those that are closer to Hashem are makir and they see the truth and they understand the greatness of Hashem. The people that are Yoshvei Be'Secho, they praise you even more. The Pasuk says, V'shachanti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, v'yisi lehem lakim. I will rest among b'nei Yisrael. And what happens when the Shekhinah rests among us? V'yisi lehem lakim. I'll be for them, I'll be for you, Hashem, because when Klal Yisrael sees the Shekhinah resting among them, Klal Yisrael fears the Shekhinah, the closer they become, the more they admire, the more they understand the greatness of Hashem. And only then, it's for Shachanti, when I'm with you, I'm among you, then it's for Yisi Lamalakim, then I'll be for you, Hashem. Ashrei Yoshvei Be'Secho, Oid Yehalucha Chaselo. Those that sit in your house, those that are next to you, they are the ones that are mocking you the most, and they are the ones that praise you more than others. The Pasuk says, by the Choshen, by the Ephod, there were 12 stones, and the Pasuk lists off the four rolls of stones, and the Pasuk tells us, in Perichof Ches, Pasuk Chof, Vatur HaRavi, the fourth roll was Tarshish, V'Shoyam, V'Yoshvei. The names of the stones, they were made from Tarshish, Shoyam, and Yoshvei. And the Medrash brings down, the Medrash brings down, Yoshvei was the stone of Binyamin. The stone of Shevet Binyamin was Yoshvei. And the Medrash continues, Yoshbe is Yesh Peh. Yesh Peh. Binyamin had a koyach of Yeshpeh. He learned that from his mother Rachel. Rachel Imenu, when Lavan switched Leah and Rachel, Rachel was not megala to Yaakov that the switch took place, and she didn't want to embarrass her sister. She kept quiet. She had the kayach of being quiet. Binyamin, so to speak, inherited that kayach from his mother. And even though the Medrash brings down, Binyamin knew about the mechira of Yosef. Binyamin knew that Yosef was sold. And the Medrash says Binyamin had a big inner debate whether to tell Yaakov or not that Yosef was sold. But Binyamin conquered his tendency to speak, and he overcame his pest, so to speak, and he did not tell Yaakov. Therefore, he's called Yesh Peh, because he knew when to be quiet, he knew when to speak. Rabbein Avachai brings down that Binyamin conquered his Yetzahara, and he's called Yesh Peh, even though he had a mouth to speak, he conquered his Yetzahara. And the Chiddush Rim says a very, very deep insight. And he says, why was he called Yesh Peh? He should have been called Ein Peh. The whole Shvach of Binyamin was that he knew when to be quiet. Rachel Imenu knew when to speak and when to be quiet. The Shvach was Ein Peh. That he didn't speak, he knew when to hold something in and when to say it out. Not Yesh Peh. Yesh Peh seems to imply he has a big mouth. That's not a Shvach Yesh Peh. He should have been called Ein Peh. The Chiddush Rim says, beautiful. He says, if a person has a chafetz in his hand, a person has an item in his hand, if it's truly his, it's really his, he could do whatever he wants with it. He could put it down here, take it here, leave it, whatever he wants, he could do with it. If something is not really his, he's not the Baal HaBos over it. He can't do what he wants. He can't control the chayfetz. He can't do what he wants. He says, Yesh Peh, somebody who could control his mouth, and he's able to watch what comes out, what he says, and he's able to control what not to say, his mouth is in his rishus. He's in control of his mouth. But somebody who can't control himself and he just says whatever he feels like, whatever words come out of his mouth, whatever Lashon Hara comes out of his mouth, and even though he knows it's wrong, but he can't control himself, he has to say it. He has to go ahead and say that. That's a person ain't pet. It's just the opposite. Who's the one who has a peh? The one who's able to control it. The one whose mouth is in his rishus. The Yomim is called Yesh Peh because his mouth is in his rishus. And we mentioned many times, Tzadik Geizer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Tzadik is Geizer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim. The Gemara brings down many times that Tzadik said something, Kishkaga HaYaitzim of the Ashalot, and it became true. And Rav Chanan explained, because when a Tzadik says words, the words have Kayach, and a Tzadik, his mouth is pure, his mouth is clean. So when he says words, his words shoot, his words go up to Shemayim, and his words accomplish. Not like somebody else whose mouth is rusty, and unclean with Lashon Hara and bad words and things that should be said in Lashon Hara, his mouth is not as clean and his words don't carry as far. Yesh Peh. Who's the one who has the mouth? Not the one who talks and can't control it, but just the opposite. Yesh Peh is one who's in control of his mouth. He's able to control what he says and what comes out of his mouth. And the Shvach Ben Yamin was Yesh Peh. He was able to talk when he had to and he's able to be quiet, knew when to be quiet when it was necessary to be quiet. The Zoya Kaddish brings down, the Me'il had the Pamoin Zov of Rimoin. The Pamoin, the bell made noise, the bells rang, the Rimoin, Pashas didn't make noise. Machoikis Rashin Ramban, Pamoinim Zov, the Soicha Rimoinim. Does it mean the Rimoinim were inside, and it made noise, or like Rashi learns, you had a bell, a Rimoin. And according to Rashi, the Rimoinim, what purpose did they serve? The bells rang when the Kohen Gadol walked. People knew where he was, especially Yom Kippur. They heard the bells. They knew where the Kohen Gadol was. But the Rimoinim, according to Rashi, did not make any noise. What was the purpose of the Rimoinim? And the Zoya Kaddish brings down that the Pamoin represents Lashon Hara, Kapara for Lashon Hara. People make noise, so the bell ringing represents the Lashon Hara. The Rimoin represents just the opposite. Sometimes a person is quiet when he's not supposed to be quiet. There are times when a person has to speak up, a person has to say something, and it's quiet, for that a person needs a kapara also. So the Rimoin represents the times that he's quiet when he shouldn't be. A person has to know when to speak up, when to say, when not to say. What to say, when not to say. How to say it, how not to say it. Pamoin and the Rimoin. A person needs a kapara on both ends, for the ringing, for the noise that he makes. On the other hand, he needs a kapara sometimes for the noise that he doesn't make. The Gemara brings down a Talmud Chacham, who knows the halacha, and he doesn't want to pass in a halacha when he should, he's also guilty, because he had a chance to teach the people what's right, to follow the halacha, and he didn't. So a person has to know when to speak, when not to speak. Pamoin and rimoin. Yeshpeh. A person who's in control of his mouth is called the yeshpeh. The pasuk tells us, should take the dam, and he spritz the dam on the mizbeach. But you all know by karbonos, from every carbon, what part of the carbon was brought on the mizbeach? The chalev, the fats, the imurim, and the dam. The blood? Depends. Various animals have different variations. But chalev and dam were standard. Every carbon had the chalev and the dam that was brought on the mizbeach. And the Benishchais is over a nice moshul. Said it over in the past, but it's a nice point that it brings out. There's once a big seicha, a big merchant, and in the morning he tells his wife he's going to learn in the Beis Medrash, and she shouldn't disturb him. He's going to learn. He goes to learn, and while he's learning, a customer shows up by the house, and the customer wants to buy a lot of schayr, a lot of merchandise. And the wife says, "I'm sorry, my husband's not available now. He's first available in the afternoon. Come back at 12 o'clock, he'll be available." And the customer says, nothing doing. I have to have the merchandise now. I have to leave. If your husband comes now, good. If not, I'll go next door to his competitor. I'll buy somewhere else. And she says, I'm sorry. I can't disturb him now. He's learning. And the customer goes and he buys the merchandise somewhere else. Okay, you understand what happens later. The husband comes home, and she says to him, you know, I didn't want to disturb you. Somebody came by to buy a lot of merchandise, and I didn't want to disturb you. And he went next door. The husband hears that. What? He says, no, listen to me. From now on, if anybody comes for me when I'm learning, you can come and disturb me. Come and call me home. It's okay. I'll make the time up later. You can come and call me home. The next morning, he goes off to learn a Beis Medrash, and the tax collector shows up by the house. Tax collector knocks, he knocks on the door, and he wants to collect the taxes, and he wants to take away a percentage of the merchandise, and so on. Where's the balabas? We have to make a cheshbon. He says, oh, my husband told me, if anyone comes, I have to call him right away. He says, 1 minute, I'll call him for you right now. So she runs to Beis Medrash, she calls him, and he comes running home all excited, another customer, and he walks in and he finds out it's a tax collector. And he lets her have it. And he says, you mixed everything up yesterday when you had the customer and it was good for us. You didn't call me. Today when the tax collector comes to take away our money, today you call me. You have it all mixed up. Says the Benish Chai, we're like that. We're all mixed up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave every person the midah of zrizus. We're eager, we do things fast, we jump sometimes a little bit too fast, zrizus. We also have the midah of atzmus. We're lazy. Sometimes we sit back, we like to take it easy, we like to relax a little bit, we had a hard day. Everybody has zrizus and atzmus. What are we supposed to use zrizus for? When it comes to a mitzvah asay, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, an asay, we're supposed to jump, bezrizus, and do the mitzvah. It comes time to go to shul. It comes time to learn, bezrizus. And when are we supposed to use the atzus, being lazy? When we have an assignment of doing an aveira. The Eitz Sahara comes, let's do an aveira. Sit back. Too lazy. I don't have to do it right now. Don't bother me. I'm lazy. I can't do it. What does the person do? He mixes it all up. Unfortunately, when it comes to doing the mitzvah, the atzus takes the lead. I'm too lazy, it's too hot, it's too cold, I don't have kayach, leave me alone. And when it comes to the Aveira, oh, sometimes a person, the Eitz Hara, is able to push him, and he runs with Zerizos to do the Aveira. We mix it all up. The dam, the blood, represents Zerizos. Blood gives a person life, the blood flows through the person, the blood represents the Zerizos. On the other hand, the fat, the chayla, the fats of the behemoth, the fats of a person, weigh a person down, represents the atzlus, making a person lazy. A heavier person is lazier, makes a person lazy. When we bring a carbon, we bring the dam and the chaylev. A kapara for the zrizus that we use the wrong way, we use it for the aveir instead of the mitzvah. We bring the chaylev, the fat, the kapara for the atzlus that we use the wrong way, instead of using the atzlus for the aveir, we use the atzlus for the mitzvah. But a person has to have his priorities straight and know when to use his zrizus for the mitzvah, I say, and when to use the atzlus, when to be lazy when it comes to the aveira. Pasuk says, this is a well-known verse from the Gra. The Pasuk says, "Pituche chaysam kaidish Hashem." The Pasuk says, by the tzitz is pituche chaysam Chodesh Hashem, Perik Chav Ches, Pasuk Lamed Vav. And everyone knows the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Beis. The Gemara brings down from Rabbi Yochanan, Shiloisha Mavteichos Biyado Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. There were three keys that are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem didn't give over to a Shliach. What are the three keys? Mavteach of Yelades, of giving birth. Mavteach of Gishomim, of rain, or Parnaso. And Mavteach Shal Tchias HaMeisim, and the keys of Tchias HaMeisim. And Tosfos points out, even though you find that at certain points people had keys, but not at one time. You ever find one Shliach who had all three. So the three keys are the keys of giving birth, the keys of rain, and the keys of Tchias HaMeisim. It says by the tzitz, Bituchei Chaisom, it was engraved on the tzitz, Kodesh Lashem. The word Chaisom, says the Gra, Ches Sof Mem, stands for Chaya, which is a lady giving birth. Tof stands for Tchias HaMeisim, and Mem stands for Motor, rain. Bituchei Chaisom, the Mavteichos, the keys of Chaisom, of Ches Tof Mem, of birth, of Tchias HaMeisim, of rain, are Kodesh Lashem. Those keys are Kodesh Hashem, they belong to Hashem, and they're not given over to a Shliach. I saw a Hosafa today, the word Mafteach could also hint to these three. The Mem and the Fei stand for Moto or Parnoso, which is the key of rain. The Tof is Tchias HaMeisim. The Ches is Chaya, is the lady giving birth. The Mafteach, those three keys, are Kodesh Hashem, of Yodesh and Kodesh Baruch Hu. Betuchi Chaisom, Kodesh, Kodesh Hashem. Pasuk says, at the end of the parasha, Pasuk says, V'lakachta oisam miyadom, v'yaktarta ha-mizbecha ha-ayla, l'reach nechayach ufnei Hashem, ishehu Hashem. The carbon is brought as an offering Hashem. And the Gemara, the Mishnah Zvachim, learns from here, Hashem, and Rashi says, Ashbi l'shem, for shem Hashem, l'shem shishu devar manzevach nizbach. The carbon is shechted for six purposes. And when a person brings the carbon, he has to have in mind six machshavas. L'shem Hashem, L'shem the fire, L'shem mizbeach, L'shem reich nechayach, L'shem the carbon. He brings a carbon in L'shmo. And again, the Ben Ishchai is a beautiful marshal explaining the idea of L'shmo. Which I know he said over, but the point is brought out very well. There was once a yeshiva man, a little bit of a kanoi, walking through town. And he passes by the bar at the end of the town, and he looks inside, and he sees people sitting gambling away, playing cards, gambling, and, you know, from people sitting there gambling away, he decides it's not right, and his Ruach Kanois takes a hold of him, he decides that even though he never went into the bar before, he has to walk in, and he's going to give them Musa and try to straighten him out. And he walks in filled with Kanois and, zeal and eagerness to straighten out their ways. And he walks over to them and he asks them what they're doing and tell them they're gambling. Do you want to join us? He says, no, gambling is usur. And he starts explaining to them how they're wasting their time and how they could accomplish so much more and why they're sitting here spending the night. They could do so many mitzvahs and what a mitzvah's worth in Shemayim. And for an hour he sits in the darshans and they listen and they listen and they listen. After the hour's over, they say, you know, you're right. We're going to give up gambling. And you know what? All the money we have on the table, you can take. All the money is yours. Give it to whoever needs money. And all needs stock or whoever needs the money. Take all the money we have on the table and give it to stock. And they walk out of the bar and he feels accomplished. Look, he just saved a whole group of people. And not only that, but he raised funds for stock. A year goes by. A year later, he passes by the same bar.
And they're there again.
And he hears the voices coming from inside. He peeks inside, and the same crowd, the same people are sitting there gambling again.
Of course.
And he says to himself, you know, last year I passed by, and at the end of the day, I earned some nice money. They left me all the money from the table for the musr that I gave them. You know what? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go and give them musr, and at the end of the day, I need money. I'm short. I'll have some money at the end of the day. I'll go and I'll give them musr. He walks in there, they recognize him, he recognizes them, gambling again, and he starts giving them musr, wasting their time, and he's talking, he turns red in the face, and the more he talks, the angrier they get, and they look at him, and finally they can't take it anymore, they pick him up, and they throw him out headfirst into the street. And he's very upset, he doesn't understand. Last year I came in, and they were mechabed me, they respected me, they listened, they even gave me money at the end, and now they're angry at me, they threw me out. He goes to the Rav of the town. He says to the Rav, maybe you can explain to me what happened. I don't understand. I don't understand. And the Rav says, it's very simple. Last year when you went by, you met L'Shem Shemayim. You met L'Shem Shemayim. You went in, you saw them doing something wrong, you went in, L'Shem Shemayim, you had no idea they were giving money at the end, you did it totally, L'Shem Shemayim. So Kosh Baruch Hu helped you, that your words entered their hearts, and they were makabah. This year, your kavana was far from L'Shem Shemayim. This year, your kavana was, last year I made money, I'll make some money again. You went in for your own purposes, not L'Shem Shemayim. Who are you? And they took you and they threw you out. Says the Ben Ishchai, two people could do the same action. Even the same person could do the same action different times. They're worlds apart. When one does it l'shma, a person does it l'shem Hashem, he does it the right way. He has the siyata l'shmaya to be able to carry it out, and he does the mitzvah properly. One does it shiloy l'shma, yeah, it's true, he might go through the motions, but he's missing the driving force behind it. He's missing the machshava, he's missing the kayach behind it. He doesn't have that siyata l'shmaya. He doesn't have the kaiches of one who does it l'shma. Person does it l'shma is at a much higher level when he does it, when he does it shiloy l'shma. When a carbon is brought, a carbon is for a kafara, it has to be brought l'shma. Whenever we do mitzvahs, it doesn't take too much extra to say, I'm doing it l'shem, Hashem, l'shem the mitzvah. Many people, when they buy food for Shabbos, they say l'kavod Shabbos. It's two small words. Or they do preparations around the house, they say l'kavod Shabbos. Two small words. But the chilk between their house and someone else's house are worlds apart. A house that was prepared, l'shma, l'kavod Shabbos, is different than a house that was just cleaned up because it's the end of the week and it's time to clean up. The house shouldn't be a mess. A person goes ahead, we say Hashem Yichud in the morning before we put on tefillin, a talus. Okay, we mumble it, we say it. But if you have kavana for two words, I'm doing it l'shma, l'shem the mitzvah, it changes the whole mitzvah. We come to learn. Some of us come to learn to get out of the house. Some of us come to learn because if we stay home, it's not going to be too good. But if we say to ourselves, we're coming to learn, l'shem the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, coming to learn, it changes the whole learning. It changes the whole Gemara. That's true, but the goal is to reach l'shma.
Okay.
Mitoch shel l'shma is only good if a person needs it. But mitoch shel l'shma, bo l'shma. Different types of l'shma also. But it doesn't take too much effort to take a thing we're doing anyway, a mitzvah we're doing anyway, and just say l'shem. I'm doing it with Kavod Shabbos. We mentioned once, one who polishes his shoes, Kavod Shabbos is worlds apart. The schad that a person has for polishing his shoes with Kavod Shabbos is so great if we would understand what the schad is. Any little action that we do with Kavod Shabbos, in on two little words, with Kavod Shabbos, it changes the entire picture. The chong with the kugel, it all tastes better. It's all with Kavod Shabbos. So let's be mechazik ourselves and doing mitzvahs, coming out to learn. We're holding already frat Adar Aleph, for the cotton's right around the corner. The same way the Yeshua is on Purim and Adar Beis, the Yeshua is on Purim and Purim cotton. And it's late, but I'll say it over fast, the famous story, just that we should have an idea, the Kayach of Purim cotton. The way the story goes, if I remember correctly, is that there was once Gezeira against the Yidden in a certain town. And they came running, either it was the Baal Shem Tov, and he asked Baal Shem Tov his power for them to save them from the Gezeira. Baal Shem Tov told them, I can't help you. You have to go to this and this town, and you have to ask for a Moshe. You go to the town, you ask for a Moshe, Rav Moshe will be able to help you. Okay? Baal Shem Tov says they go. So they travel, they come to this faraway town, and they ask for Rav Moshe. Sorry, no Rav Moshe in this town. You sure? Baal Shem Tov sent us here. Not here. Maybe you have the wrong address. GPS gave you the wrong directions. Not it. Wrong place. And they stop. Everybody they meet. Ramosha. Nobody. Finally, one person says, oh, maybe you mean Moshe the Shikr. This town is around Moshe the Shikr. Maybe you mean Moshe the Shikr. Okay. Makshem Tov sent us here. Maybe we mean Moshe the Shikr. The kid said he'd run to this Ramosha the Shikr. He's drunk, lying in the street. And they say to him, can you give us a bracha? Baal Shem Tov sent us to you for a bracha to save us from this gezeira. And he said, he can't understand a word of saying, he's out of it drunk. The kids, they take him, they sober him up, they don't let him drink wine for 2-3 days, and they sober him up, and finally, when he comes to his senses, they say to him, are you Ramosha? Ramosha the Shekhar. Baal Shem Tov sent us to you for a bracha, here's the story, there's a gezeira in our town, we need you for a bracha, to mivat the gezeira, can you give us a bracha? And Moshe the Shikr says, bracha, him, bracha. Okay, I'll give you a bracha. Gives them a bracha, and they say, thank you very much. And of course, in exchange for the bracha, he demands some wine, and Vaita goes back to being a shekel. The kids, they come back, and lo and behold, the gezeirah's bottle, the gezeirah against them is canceled, it falls away, and the whole town is saved. And they can't understand for the life of them what happened. So they go back to Baal Shem HaKadosh, and they say to him, Rebbe, what happened? And he says, I'll tell you the stories. This Reb Moshe Reshika was a regular person. One day, he saved up enough money to do an Aveira. What was to drink wine for a different Aveira. He saved up a large sum of money to do a particular Aveira to use for his own pleasure. And as he's on the road, traveling to spend the money for his own pleasure, he hears a young girl crying. He stops. He finds that the pirates had kidnapped a young girl, and he wanted to marry her and so on. And he said to the pirates, how much money do you want in order to save her? And the pirates named an enormous sum, just the amount of money that this Reb Moshe had with him for his own pleasure. He takes the money, and without batting an eyelash, gives it to the pirates, and says, here, free the girl. And he saves the girl. Takes the girl back home, and he saves her. And Shaman de Meda, Gevaldika Tumul, big Tumul. How do you reward such a Yid? How do you reward him for what he did? Look what he did. He took his money, he's going to use for an Aveira, and he did it to save a Yiddish Neshama. How do you reward such a person? And Shemayim, they decided that they'll give him the Kayach of Brachas. That he'll have the Kayach to give Brachas. That any Brach he gives comes true. He'll have the Kayach of Brachas. Suddenly, the bad Malach, another Malach comes running and says, how could you do that? Who knows what kind of Brachas he'll give? He doesn't have that Seichel to know which Bracha to give, which Bracha not to give. He doesn't know whom to give Brachas to, who not. If people that are not deserving come to him and they get a bracha, what's going to happen? His brachas have to come true. The whole tumul in Shemayim, they couldn't take back what they did because they already gave it. On the other hand, it's too dangerous of a kayach for somebody like that to have. So it was decided that he would become a shikr, but the tzaddikim in that generation would know about him, and whenever they decided that a bracha is necessary, they could send somebody to him for a bracha, and his bracha would be mekuyim. And that's the story of this Moshe Reshikr. Bashem Tov says, and that's why I sent you, because his bracha is mechuyim. That's the story they say all. Purim Katon is the same. Purim is a gevaldika day. It's a day called a poshet yad nice nimoy. Whoever stretches out his hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu answers. It's a day of tefillah, a day of nisim, a day of yeshuos. It's such a powerful day, Chazal were afraid people would daven for the wrong thing. People will take Purim, and they'll daven for this bracha, for that bracha, and it's not good, but it's a day where tefillos are answered. Call a poshet yad nice nemoy. So what did Chazal do? The begoyzi should be drunk. On Purim he should drink, should be drunk, run around, and one mitzvah, nocha mitzvah, people should be so busy and get shikr, they won't have time to daven from the hearts, and therefore they won't have time to ask for things they're not deserving of. But that's only on Purim. On Purim Katon, there's no din to drink at all. And Purim Katan, there's no din to drink at all. And Purim Katan, it says, has the same Kayach of Purim, called a Poshid Yad Noisnimoy, and there's no din to drink, there's no busy running around, there's no putting on a show. Purim Katan has a Kayach of Purim. A person has an ability to daven and be mispalo for Yeshua on Purim Katan. So, I rather did not intend to say this story over tonight, but and you reminded me that tonight, that Purim Katan is right around the corner. It'll be a little bit too late to say it over next week. Coming Tuesday is Purim Katan. Okay. I think I said it over 1 year afterwards, and everybody had tightness on me why I said the story over too late. So, Baruch Hashem, we remember to say it over now, but use it. It's a big opportunity, Purim Katan. There's no din of being drunk. There's a din of kol pashi yad nice nemu. It's a day of tefillah. Nisim bakalshes. Kol shparuch hu shenaseh atfilas. Shetakon ubi zayich lesi Yeshua. Sufus lachomis. Kol shparuch hu shenaseh atfilas. And we should be zayich lesi Mashiach. So came here. Amen.
Amen.